out as a free download. Just go to Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. Stay tuned for more programming on your local Pacifica station. Sojourner Truth will be back on the air on Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening. And you all please stay well and safe. This is your host, Margaret Prescott.
This is Norman Sylvester, the Boogie Cat. Meow, meow. You're listening to KBOO Portland 90.7 FM Community Radio.
You're listening to KBOO's Catalog of Connections year-end campaign, where we bring you a range of community-oriented programming built by community members like you.
Help KBOO reach our $75,000 goal by December 31st so we can bring you another great year of cutting-edge radio. Made by you, for you. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to 44321 to contribute today.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. KBOO's Community Advisory Board will meet on Monday, December 9th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held at 20 South East 8th Avenue in Portland and online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting virtually can be found on our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Hello, global listeners. This is the Global Sales Show. My name is TK Capra. I'm your host this evening. If you just joined us, thank you for listening in, and we welcome you on board. We just wanted to remind you that KBOO Portland is a community radio station, and if you're enjoying this program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better, it become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers 44-4321. Before we dive into our interview, we just wanted us to play some music. Tonight we have a set of twins, Kundai and Kuzai, who I'm going to be interviewing. Before we get into their stories, their immigrant stories, I want to just play one song to just warm up the stage. I'm going to start with a song called Ndamuda by Killa T.
What you bro party? Tamuka Nagamona, ye gaje famira. Ye gadinguva newe ndani no kumira. Amenoka na paine bando kuzivira. Ye gadimusika na daiwani daira. Zigant muko washa demani kwanira. Munenga muneru chiva ndoro kufurira. Nigadizwa mandipa nino mutambira. tomushandisa ndikati mama vangu ndotovazivisa asi vakandozviramba kana ndichinge ndamuda mama musandirambidze
which means I'm in love with this girl. This song is actually meant to be a message for fighting forced marriages in other cultures. And I have to say also it's part of my culture that in some instances a forced marriage has been an issue. So this guy, the musician, is singing about the call to fight against forced marriages in our cultures so we can or exercise civil rights and civil liberties as we approach the marriage topic. Tonight, you are listening to the Global Sales Show. Your host is me, TK Kapura, and I have Kundai with me. Kundai, can you introduce yourself to our audience, please?
Hi, I'm Kundai, and I'm a recent graduate of the University of Oregon's Product Design Program, and I'm here today to answer some of TK's questions, so stay tuned.
Yeah, thank you, Kundai. Normally, I have been inviting guests from different parts of the world, and most of the guests that I've invited have been immigrants who crossed over, moved from one country to the other. And it's my first time actually to bring a product of the immigrant community into the studio. The reason I made this special call was because I wanted her to share some information about how she feels about the experiences of immigrants from her perspective, from what she hears, what she has experienced so far as a product of immigrants from Zimbabwe. So Kundai, what's your feeling about immigration in general? This is such a broad question, but what's your feeling about immigration?
I think immigration can work wonders as far as allowing people to mix and intermingle and to share different aspects of their cultures, of things that they know, different knowledge systems, languages, ways of life. And it can be a really special experience if people allow it to be.
And are there any specific experiences that you think impact your life based on what you hear on the immigrant story?
Yeah, I think for me, something that I feel like has carried into the person that I am and in my daily life is being a first generation American, Zimbabwean American. And so I think part of the culture is really focused and prioritizes community and just the joy of living, whether that be through food or music or creating things or working with your hands or, you know, innovating. I think that's something that I have really brought to my own personal work as an artist and as a designer. And I could see that that could be true for many cultures, but for me specifically, I've even made, for example, a modern interpretation of the Rupasa mat from Zimbabwean culture. And what I did was incorporate some 3D printed elements as well as some new sewing techniques that I had learned in design school and really taking from those traditional Zimbabwean elements while incorporating those new parts that I had learned And so seeing how that can be integrated into the work that I do while also creating my new, like a new version or identity through this dual culture that I have in me is really interesting.
All right, Kunde. So when we mix politics and immigration, what's your take about a combination of politics and immigration? Because there's been a lot of talk. Some love immigration as a benefit to the nation, and some do not seem to take the immigration story lightly. So when you consider the immigration topic from your own standpoint, what are your thoughts? What are your special thoughts about immigration?
I think immigration is a very complicated issue. I think in some ways, on all sides of politics, people have created very extreme views, which is hard for people to come together and come to a more amicable conclusion and to understand each other. But I think as far as immigration, I think it's important to hear people out on and to be more invested in people and human beings rather than invested in a specific idea or something you're trying to cling to. And I think a lot of times when people have grown up with certain ideals or they're not used to certain people or they haven't really had much of a broad worldview, it's hard for them to understand the idea of living among people who are not like them. But I think it can be a really special moment and allow people to come together if people allow it.
And what should the community do in your thoughts? What should the community do to make immigration, the immigration topic, relevant?
I think it starts with opening your mind. I think in a lot of ways, there can be instances where people are just not open-minded and not willing to hear new stories or new ways of life or the knowledge systems and languages like I've talked about. I think it just starts with conversation and being willing to know people and to get on the ground and listen to people as human beings.
Interesting. And when you look around on the diversity picture here in Oregon, what are you learning from other cultures besides your culture from Zimbabwe? What special things have you learned from other cultures that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, I think something that I've learned, especially with some of my peers in design school, is just one thing that I've learned is like the food. I think with some of our gatherings, some of the people with their different cultures would come and bring different types of dishes that we could have. Or sometimes people would incorporate ideas from their own culture into their personal work or their projects. Or even, you know, people naming their different products or ideas a word from their language. So it's not necessarily, I can't say that I know the ins and outs of everyone's culture, but getting to appreciate those parts that they share is really special. And it's been a great experience overall.
So what would you imagine the picture to be like? Say we woke up today without any immigration in the system. What would be the impact of such an absence of immigrants in this community, in your opinion?
I think we would see a lot more people clinging to conventions that they're already familiar with and preconceived notions that they just have decided are the norm. And I think when we see different kinds of people getting to mix together and getting to share things is when we see new ideas and innovations and new opportunities for people to connect from different parts of the world.
And in your opinion, how does the world benefit from immigration? Besides, I know this is a kind of a sweet-sour situation where people are leaving their home countries to go to other countries because of forced displacements. It could be natural conditions, wars, genocide, various other factors force people to leave their home countries and look at any direction that comes their way, and they become immigrants or refugees. When you look at the American picture and you look at the immigrants on board, on our social system and the community at large, what do you think is the benefit of their presence into the current system? I know you've covered a little bit about that, but in detail, what do you think or what do you view as maybe the compelling features that we should recognize or highlight based on the presence of immigrants or refugees?
Yeah, I think could you please rephrase the question really quick?
What would be the highlighted benefits of immigration in the the Portland community? How are they benefiting?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think, like I was talking about, there could be benefits in even the kinds of foods people eat or the kind of music people listen to. I know there's some DJs even online that are becoming more popular for mixing different kinds of cultures and the kind of music that they mix together. And I think Portland has a really interesting DJ scene that could be impacted by that. Or even, I know Portland has a lot of food trucks and different food scenes that could be impacted by different kinds of people mixing. And even, you know, just our day-to-day life, like the way people function is very different based on where they're from or how they grew up. So getting to learn a different perspective and a new perspective on how we can exist as people and impact each other in a positive way. So I think more specifically, it could impact all sorts of lifestyle and all sorts of aspects of our world. But I think in Portland, it could be something, I could imagine it being something a little more cultural, like food or music.
Great. Again, to our listeners, you're listening to the Global Sales Show, and my name is TK Kapoor. I'm your host this evening. If you're listening and you're enjoying this program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. There's something for everyone here on the Global Sales Show. We share music, we share cultures, we share life. We just want to bring everybody to the attention, raising awareness on what immigration can bring to the United States of America. I think many of us can still remember there are a lot of celebrities who have made it in the USA, and a lot of them, I can give examples, but I won't even be able to finish all of the list of the people on the list, like Arnold Schwarzenegger. We had even Bob Marley was an immigrant. Many other superstars, sportsmen, and every other person that we have known to bring fame here, part of them have been immigrants. So we acknowledge them. We acknowledge their presence, their people. They're just like you and I. They are leaving their countries because of war, because of earthquakes, natural disasters, and many other things that happen every day. As people fight for global peace, there is always a drawback where some people have to use more power to get rid of other people, and they tend to leave their countries for greener pastures, looking for peace and many other things. So it's a very interesting topic in that immigration is a continuous topic that happens in every generation because of various political, social, and economic issues that arise in on every part of the globe. My name is TK Kapura, and I'm going to be sharing with you some music, especially from Zimbabwe this evening. The reason I'm playing music from Zimbabwe is because my interviewee this evening is Kundai. Her parents are from Zimbabwe, so I got to play Zimbabwean music just to honor her presence and share some little bit of culture from Zimbabwe. So our next song is called Mogaden. It's a song by Winky D. It's just a fun piece of music that shares what the world could be if people could share their space with animals, wild animals, domestic animals in the same space. What life could be like if they could be shared space, where we could share resources together, no biting, no pinching, just sharing the shared space. Please enjoy this song. Chema, ininda chema.
Chino wanza pesa nisa wanutu Wanodana na imari Nemuta uroko go back with hammer the shamani. But the 32 tag of fire, we have got them. Got the fam, but they do teach them, but sin baramani.
In a deep and dark, I see you on the no die. Rudo wangu di no paiwe. Baby, I'm gonna chew no shota. I'm the baku see an endata.
So no die. In the data, chero. Has you was a son, kiss a mutero. Then pick up a needy chin waiter, one in mufero.
Baby, don't know.
Oh, that was Winky D with the song Mugaden. He sang the song with a lady named Gemma. This song is about just what life could be like if all people could share space without domestic or wild animals, everybody just living in the same space, respecting each other without any problems. What life could be like. It's just like based on folklore, like where we have to learn to share space and share resources. Very interesting song. You're listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. I just want to share a little bit about the KBOO station, what they've done, what they can do, what their significance is in the community. Did you know that 80% of our funding at KBOO comes from our members? The cable station is a nonprofit organization registered as a 401c3, and it also has a lot of things that it offers in community, like it's 56 years old and it's one of the oldest community radio stations in the USA and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland, Oregon. It's volunteer powered. We have over 300 volunteers in this station. And KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio, all for free, thanks to the support we receive from our members. We are independent, community supported, volunteer powered radio. KBOO programming focuses on local communities, artists, activists, people, you and I. Also, we have a lot of benefits that we have through sharing that culture, through sharing those experiences from different walks of life. People have come in here to share what they think about life, and it makes life real, because every topic that's covered in here is about the real life that we live every day. So thank you for listening to the KBOO, and we hope you continue to support it. Again, if you just want to feel like you want to donate to the station, just go to kboo.fm/give or text KBOO to these numbers, 44321. This evening, I have Kundai from Zimbabwe. I'm continuing our conversation on the relevance of immigration in the USA. Right, Kundai. So have you had the chance to interact with people from other cultures besides your own culture?
Yeah, I just recently got back from France. I was living there for about 2 months, and that was a really great experience and way to interact with people and be fully immersed in another culture.
Mm-hmm. So when you went to France, that means you became an immigrant in France, right? Mm-hmm. What lessons did you learn from France that's different from what you have learned every day here in America?
I think something that I've learned is how important and special it is when you put in the efforts to learn about other people and their cultures. I think I was in France on a job where I was assigned to kind of be like a culture and language liaison. And so I was in charge of doing a lot of the French speaking with my fellow staff and the students that were part of this gap year program that we were working for. And so a lot of times, like, the students, if they wanted to get a new phone or if they wanted a tattoo or if they wanted to go to a specific restaurant or make a reservation, I was kind of that frontline person communicating with the person on the other side. And so I realized how special it was and how appreciative they were when they saw us as a group of Americans where at least one person knows the language. And I think being able to respect different elements of the culture, just as an example, a lot of, in the French culture, it's really common to really take your time with meals and to be at a restaurant for upwards of 2 hours, even if it's just a lunch. And so being able to just sit there and take the experience in and really savor every moment, even if you're having a lunch or just meeting up with a friend or going for a walk, really being able to absorb that became a part of the lifestyle there. And so I think that's just some of the things that I've learned, is being able to see how people function and kind of taking that on or blending in a way, but also still allowing yourself to stand out and be special.
Thank you, Kunde. So based on that aspect of your visit to France, what shocked you? What surprised you in France?
I think something that surprised me, or that I don't traditionally experience where I live, is the access to the art, the fashion. There are various elements of, like, the art scene that were just so accessible that I wouldn't have traditionally experienced in my own, like, where I traditionally live. So I feel like it was really cool to be able to just have that at the snap of a finger at all times. Like, if I was traveling somewhere and I was on the metro, which is like the subway system equivalent, there was a guy just playing saxophone there, or you might find somebody juggling, or you might find like a band underground when you're walking through the tunnels there. So it's just a really cool way to just see different art and people. I remember one time I was just walking to go meet some friends for dinner, or I think the dinner was like in a couple hours, but I stumbled upon this like private art show, and I thought that I couldn't go in until I went in and asked the people, like, is this public? And it turns out that the art show was public for everyone, and they were like serving champagne, and I could just be one of those people. And I feel like sometimes, especially in the United States, there's kind of a hierarchy or kind of like a sense of like only these kinds of people can go here. But me, as a young person, I was able to walk into an art event and just exist and enjoy and appreciate the art.
Thank you, Kundai. Now we turn to Kuzai. Kuzai, welcome to the show. Can you please introduce yourself?
Hi, everyone. My name is Kuzai. I'm really excited to be here, joining my dad. So, yeah.
Okay, Kuzai, can you briefly tell our audience what your impression was when you visited? I want to start with your visit to Zimbabwe. What was your experience like in Zimbabwe?
I feel like that's such a loaded question because there were so many things. It's like, I feel like growing up, the way that you and mom would describe Zimbabwe, you know, sometimes you think, oh, just because your parents say it, it's not true. Like, oh, they're just exaggerating, or that's not the reality of how it really was. But when I got there, I came to find that exactly what, you know, I was told, or the impressions that was given of Zimbabwe, were true. Like, how people are happy, people are carefree. Like, the things that people value in the United States aren't necessarily valued in Zim. There are just various different cultural norms. And it felt surprisingly familiar, you know, mm-hmm. because you're going to I was in a place I'd never been before, but because of the way that I'd grown up at home, I understood. Like, there was a level of understanding that I already had mm-hmm. when I was there, but just first impressions, I thought that, you know, like, obviously, you and mom's immigration story has a lot to do with understanding the pressure of the political and social conditions that were present in Zimbabwe in the early 2000s. And getting there, it's actually interesting. I was writing about it earlier today, but government policy is just, it so blatantly has a lot to do with the social conditions that you see. Mm-hmm. In some areas, you see extreme wealth. People are comfortable. People have huge houses and they have maids and really, really nice cars and all of these really amazing things. But then if you go down the street, you'll see people selling tomatoes for 5 cents each just so that they can make a dollar for the day. And it just has a lot to do with the economic policy. But it was interesting. So I just feel like there was a lot to take in, though, in terms of culture, in terms of the social conditions, in terms of even people's mannerisms, the way that people communicate with one another. It definitely does feel like there's some level of expectation, or like just a social community expectation. Like, you wouldn't just act a certain way because, oh, I'm here. You know, in America, I feel like people are very individual and very independent. You don't owe anybody anything to the right or left of you. But even riding in the public bus, people have common conversations like, oh, do you have an extra dollar for this? Or did you hear about this going on over here? Or did you see this market? Like, there's just a level of camaraderie. I think that's kind of an underlying layer of expectation. Or I remember when I went to where mom grew up, Auntie Salam was talking to the boys in the neighborhood, just asking them questions like, hey, do you guys know who used to live here or here? And it wasn't like, oh, who's this lady talking to us? We don't know her. Why is she asking us questions? It was just, oh, yeah, this is the information that you... It was very, very normal, but it wasn't like just out of being friendly. It was out of that cultural expectation that, oh, we're all on the same page, like, you know. But I loved it. I think, you know, one of my favorite parts was visiting Nando's and having the chicken. I'd had Nando's one other time in Chicago, but it wasn't the same. It was really, really good chicken. But overall, I had a really good time.
Great. So we shipped from Zimbabwe, then we go to South Africa where you went for your, while in college. What are your thoughts about South Africa and Johannesburg? What was life like?
I honestly would say kind of similar. It was kind of like a similar... It was kind of like a similar evaluation to a degree, where, again, you're seeing just incredible wealth disparity. Some places are so wealthy, like Sandton, where the shopping mall is just very rich and it's luxurious and there's all these high-rise and really nice buildings. But then again, you go to Soweto and then you see these townships and you see like the historical context of how these places end up looking. But something about South Africa felt more ahead. Like, it just felt like, I don't even know how to describe it. But obviously South Africa is also just a very, very wealthy country, but it felt different. And I don't know if I will be able to verbalize that, but overall, I really enjoyed it. I mean, we got to see Table Mountain as we were heading to the beach. We got to spend some time on the beach as well, and it was really nice. But again, there's beauty in all parts, but then you also look at other parts and you have to sit back and you reflect on how did we get here? And you just think again about the historical context of these places. But yeah, I mean, very, very beautiful countries, though. Very, very beautiful and very rich. And people, I would say people in my experience across South Africa and in Zimbabwe live differently. Because their values are different, and in my opinion, in some ways better, because it allows you to live a richer life to a degree, if that makes any sense.
Oh, thank you, Kuzai. For those just joining us, you're listening to the KBOO Global Cell Show on the KBOO Show. If you are enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to 44-321. We're going to take a slight break and enjoy this piece of music. It's sung by a man named Ja Signal, and the song is called Usavume.
Kuti ni ngodo, chairo ni naro.
That was Jazz Signal with the song Usavume. This song is all about just don't believe people when you see them on the street. Just don't get carried away with new advice from strangers. This is part of the Zimbabwean culture. It's music played in the ghetto areas where they just compose music for entertainment and kill stress, but it's much more appreciated entertainment because it means a lot to the community. If you just joined us, my name is TK Kapurra, and I'm your host this evening. You're listening to the Global Cell Show. With me today are my twin daughters, Kudzai and Kundai. They're just sharing their experiences and how they feel about immigration and their travel experiences, and they compare that to the picture they have seen in America from a personal standpoint. So back to you, Kudzai. We now shift to your story from South Africa. Let's go to Jamaica. What was your experience like in Jamaica?
Jamaica was so different. It was something that I've never experienced before. It was so beautiful. Like, it was one of the most beautiful places I've ever been to. The greenery is just so captivating. And we got to go to these waterfalls and then the Duns River, but I forget what the waterfalls were called. But the Duns River is really cool because it's so, the salinity in the water is so high that you're extremely buoyant. So you just lay on the water, like mm-hmm. you don't even have to try to float. You just lay on the water and you mm-hmm. automatically float. And before we had gone down to Duns River, we first climbed the waterfall, and everyone gets the opportunity to just climb up, and it was really, really neat. I would say that in Jamaica, and again, I will preface by saying what I say about every country I've visited or every place that I've been is always going to be skewed because of the reason that I was there. Like, when I was in South Africa, I was there for educational immersion to learn about apartheid and racism. When I was in Jamaica, I was there to learn about, I was there on a service trip. So,
sorry to interrupt. So in South Africa, again, back to South Africa,
yeah.
What were the lessons you drew about racism and apartheid in South Africa during your time? What did you learn?
First thing is that it wasn't that long ago. I think that there's a huge misconception that so many of these things happened so long ago, but it wasn't. I remember one of the people that we spoke to, her name was Antoinette Sithole, and her young late brother's name was Hector Peterson. And in the Soweto, I want to say it was called the Soweto Uprising.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, a bunch of students were protesting against having to learn Afrikaans while they were in school. And there was a picture captured of Hector Peterson being carried away by a man and his sister Antoinette Sithole standing next to him that caught global attention. So in that picture of Hector Peterson, I believe he was shot and he was mm-hmm. being carried and he was running to the hospital and his sister is standing next to him crying. That picture, once it got across into international places like the United States and all these different places, mm-hmm. that's when the concern of apartheid really picked up, because then people were like seeing it with a real picture to say, this is what's going on in South Africa. This is unacceptable.
Mm-hmm.
So we actually got to speak to Antoinette Sithole, and we heard from her mouth like, yes, this is what happened. And actually the guy who was carrying my brother actually had to flee from South Africa because people were trying to come after him. And the photographer as well had to flee. But I think, yeah, one of the biggest things that I learned is that apartheid and racism are not just social problems. They're mm-hmm. economic problems. Like, that's the biggest thing that I feel like, even in the United States, racism is not just a social problem. It's an economic problem, because the outcomes of it are very much have to do with the way that people live in the present.
Mm-hmm.
I think, so yeah, one of the biggest things I also learned is just how important international advocacy is in terms of getting insight on what's going on in a different country. Like, if you, that level of awareness has mm-hmm. the power to really change the social condition. Mm-hmm. Because after that, then people were actually engaged and aware of what was going on. And mm-hmm. then maybe we can move forward with sanctions or expectations or policies then updated to be relevant.
Mm-hmm.
But it still doesn't take away the harsh outcomes. There's still underlying economic policy that still disproportionately affects different people in South Africa. And like I said, that's where you can see it in Sandton versus in Soweto.
Okay. Sorry to cut you out. Let's move on to Jamaica. I would just want to understand the culture. in Jamaica. What did you learn about the culture or the food in Jamaica? What was the picture like? What were your impressions? What you thought before you got in, and what you learned there, and what you thought as you walked out of Jamaica? What was the experience like?
The culture in Jamaica, I would say that I went to school in Boston, and I went to school with a lot of people who were Caribbean in general, so people who were from Jamaica, Trinidad, Haiti, and it was like kind of getting an experience of seeing some of the things that I'd learned in college, but now seeing it in Jamaica. So people in Jamaica really like to dance. They value Afro beats music and just music that allows you to move. I also feel like another culture of another piece of Jamaican culture is that people communicate very clearly. People are very blunt with what they need or with what they feel about different things, which I think for Americans can sometimes catch Americans off guard, because people might misinterpret that to be rude or something like that. But it's not rude. It's just them being upfront about, you know, whatever the situation is. The food was also really good. We got to have ackee and sawfish. We got to have different types of greens. I think one of the most interesting and exciting parts of being in Jamaica was that mangoes are like a dime a dozen. Like when I was teaching in the school, even for breaks, we would just walk up to a tree, you get a mango, you peel it, and you eat it. Like, it's not how here in the States you have to wait, oh, is it mango season? Are there enough? They're pretty expensive. There, you can get a mango on a Monday, Tuesday, when it doesn't matter, and they're all free. You just grab it off of the tree, which was really, really neat. I would also just say that the students feel, like, really mature, and they're funny. The students are just so funny. Like, and you can't be sensitive in Jamaica, because at least the students that we were working with specifically, they like to make fun of each other and poke fun at each other and poke fun at you too. And so they'll just jest with you as a way to just like engage with you and to draw you in. So it was a really, really rich experience. And I think, again, one of the biggest parts was just taking in the beauty of Jamaica. There was just so much to see. It was an awesome experience.
Great. And how do you compare that African experience and the Caribbean experience with the European experience? Because once you give me that perspective, I want to compare that with the US experience so that we can see how culture impacts what and how people think.
I would probably say that Jamaican culture and Zimbabwean or South African culture can share similarities, but they're very, very different. I feel like in South Africa and in Zimbabwe, my impression is that people are just a lot more reserved. They still jest, they still laugh, they still dance, they still like to cook and like to party and have a good time, but it just looks different. It almost seems just like more reserved. But I would say Jamaican, when I was in Jamaica, I feel like Jamaican people were more just free and, you know, eager to just communicate, eager to just, you know, connect with one another, and just more expressive upon the first impression. That's what I would say. But underlying, the values still feel the same. In terms of community, family, laughter, joy, faith, and groundedness, all of the values felt very similar, but then the expression is the only part that might be different.
And what's your comment about the foods, based on your experiences? How is the food situation like in all those spots that you have been to?
The food? I would probably say that the food in, I don't know if I can say enough about Jamaican food, because I don't know if I had all the different types quite as much. There was like this beef patty that we would always eat, which was just like basically, I think what we would call it is just a meat pie in Zimbabwe, but it's just like bread basically around flour, and kind of just baked into a pie. So That's what we had a lot, and then just the different greens. But the food is very fresh, I would say, especially the fruits and the juices.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then I would say the same thing about South Africa and Jamaica. Very fresh fruits and juices. Yeah.
Oh, thank you, Kudzai. For those just joining us, you are listening to the Global Sales Show on KBOO. If you are enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution today, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. Just go to kboo.fm/give, or you can simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. Again, I'm going to just share with you briefly why KBOO matters in this situation, this social picture of the Portland and Oregon community. KBOO is a nonprofit organization, and less than 10% of the listeners are members of the KBOO in Portland. KBOO is 56 years old and one of the oldest community radio stations in the country and one of the oldest media institutions in Portland. It's volunteer powered. We have 300 volunteers in this project. And KBOO has trained thousands of people how to make radio all for free. Thanks for the support we receive from our members. And also, please keep in mind, we're independent, community-supported, volunteer-powered radio. Before we move on with our further conversations with our interviewees tonight, I want to play for you a song by a man named XQ. It's called Paul Kama. This is Zimbabwean music. There's Jah Prayzah, XQ, and the song is called Paul Kama, which means among us, on our relations and the community. What matters most is happiness. That's the song. Please enjoy.
Jah Prayzah is done. Mr. Bodit is done. Imagician is done. Tasota image. Tariza record. Taiza energy, tabata melody. Sengwa na mbarati, jambaza ni nyengosi. Pita za mnyangati, kuchambalala kunge zangati. Dari wambo ni monera, chakufeka sepachira. Daenda mbo kukumbira, kaya kaya ka. Dari wambo ni monera, chakufeka sepachira. Daenda mbo kukumbira, kaya kaya ka. Dari wambo ni monera, chakufeka sepachira.
That was Paul Kama. That's the name of the song. It's sung by three people, XQ, Jah Prayzah, and their friends. It's all about promoting unity and good social relations for the purposes of just joy and happiness in the community. Okay, back to you, Kudzai. about your situation. But before that, I just want to remind our audiences and thank them for joining us on KBOO Global Sales Show tonight. If you're enjoying the program, please show your support by making a contribution, or better yet, become a monthly sustaining member. You can just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. Back to Kudzai from Zimbabwe. Can you please share with us what you think about your immigrant experience? What do you think is the most important thing that immigration can bring to this world?
I would probably say just diversity, and diversity in so many different things, like diversity in taste, in thought, and I think debatably thought is the most important one. But I think that we have a lot to learn from other people and the experiences that other people walk in with. People sometimes can be afraid of something when it's different, but I think sometimes we need things that are different in order to challenge what we see as normal. Everybody has blind spots. Every culture might have blind spots too, but when we come together with all different cultures, we're able to see what's rich about one another and what works in other places, and continue to just kind of improve all together.
Mm-hmm. And back to you, Kunde, what's the most important thing that you would advocate for? If you say immigration is a good thing, what one thing do you come up with? What's your take on immigration being a good project for the global community?
I think one thing is being able to get people to understand each other better and creating a sense of community among people, and being able to share the different things that people bring to the table based on their backgrounds and how they've grown up.
And Kudzai, what's your take to that? For the anti-immigrant community, their main concern has been that immigrants come with zero experience, and sometimes they've been labeled public charges. What do you think about that?
I think that's really ignorant, and I think that people with that kind of rhetoric are just, they're fighting against a bias that does not take into consideration at all the benefits of immigration altogether. Because zooming out, immigration has a lot to do with diversity, and anyone in the world can even agree that we need diversity in all areas of life, whether that's food, taste, music, style, anything. So I think to say that those who have that idea, it's ignorant, and I think in a lot of ways it's contradictory if they even consider all other parts of their lives that diversity is beneficial even to themselves.
Okay, great. So what positive step would you take for community awareness? What can we do to bring awareness to the community about the relevance of immigration, or the relevance of our immigrant friends, neighbors, refugees, what they've done? What do you think we should do?
I think it starts just with conversation. And I think in this age, it starts with media. Having radio stations like this, or having, you know, movies, watching the news, engaging with, and it doesn't all have to be political. It can even start with something as free and simple as music. Engaging with just things that are different and outside of what you're used to seeing is the start of conversation, is the start of a dialogue that understands the appreciation of diversity and the experiences that other people have to bring. And if people have the capacity, travel. It's the best way that we can better understand what other people have to offer by going to places that we are not living in and vacationing, or educating, or being educated yourself, or serving, or being served, whatever it might be, but being in other places and engaging with people who are different than you.
Thank you, Kudzai. So one last word from you, Kunde. What's your message to the immigrant community in Portland, Oregon?
I think it's to have a sense of confidence in what you bring to the table and to walk around with acknowledgement of who you are, regardless of where you are. I think sometimes when you're surrounded by a lot of people who are not like you, sometimes your voice might get drowned out or you might get overshadowed, but being willing to stand up and stand out is important.
And Kunze, what's your last word to the immigrant community?
Yeah, just continue to be yourself. I think in sometimes when you are from somewhere else, it's kind of like thinking about being the only alto in a sea of sopranos, but you have to stick to your note and you have to sing your note boldly and loudly, and just to remember that although a lot of people may not be singing the same note, it is making a difference, and just that sense of groundedness can even keep you at peace when everything might feel so different from what you are used to.
Okay, thank you both for attending the show. We've come to the end of the show. I just want to thank you listeners for listening into the Global Cell. Monthly, every first Wednesday of the month, we share topics on relevant immigrant business stories, experiences, and the like. So thank you so much for listening to us, and thank you for listening to KBOO, Portland Radio. Please, if you feel like you need to support us, we kindly accept that support. Just go to kboo.fm/give or simply text KBOO to these numbers, 44-321. I'm going to leave you listening to a song called Unovumayere by Knox Freeman and HKD. Again, thank you for listening in. This was your host, Tapiwa TK Kapura. Have a great evening.
This is KBOO Portland, listener-powered, non-corporate community radio.
We know a KBOO community membership is at the top of everyone's wish list this season. Give the gift of supporting grassroots community media by making a donation during KBOO's Catalog of Connections